Hey, what up, guys? I'm ASAP.
I'm Cole. What's good? We're Sixers fans, and Tobias Harris is homeless at this point to us.
And we're today's guests on The Takeover.
Let's go.
Plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. If you ain't first, you're last.
What is up, everyone? It's your boys, Ryan Seeker and Seth Newville, episode 77 of the Takeover Sports Podcast. And we are live from Speak Boise Studio here in downtown Boise. And we've got a very, very special group of guests this time. I don't think we've had four people in the booth at once before.
First time.
I think this is the first time. And it's
it definitely is.
Devastating moment last night for these two. How should we introduce this?
That was only last night.
I think it was.
I feel like we had like a year of commentary on it already. It like
oh, I know. And social media was going crazy. Not even about the Hawks, but the losing team.
That's kind of the sad part. No one's talking about Atlanta.
Right. Right.
Same with the New York series.
So Cole Bunderson and ASAP Brock Ashley is in the house. Sir. Boys, how we doing?
I mean, we're hanging in there as of now.
Hanging in there?
Day by day.
Man, it's all about the bounce back. We're ready to go next season. We got to make adjustments. Big time adjustments.
Before we get started, I do want to give a quick shout out to our new sponsor. So the Takeover Sports Podcast is brought to you by Vegas Sport Advantage. Clients of Vegas Sports Advantage are winning big in 2021, y'all, and you can be a part of the winning too. As of June 1st, $100 bettors are up to $3,700. $500 bettors are up to 18 Gs. $1,000 bettors are up to 37 Gs. Guys, it just goes on and on. Become a client today. Get your sports picks. Click the link in the description below and use the promo code TAKEOVER, all caps, 25, to take 25% off your package today. Shout out to y'all. Thanks for the sponsorship. We love you.
Hell of a lot more accurate than I am.
So, I guess we should just kind of dive right into it at this point. The 76ers fall short once again. They were the one seed in the East. I don't know who wants to go first between you two, but what happened?
What you got? I'll come off you.
Listen,
Bunderson's going first.
The Sixers were not prepared for this season, not prepared for the playoffs. On paper, maybe. In the standings, maybe. But anyone who watched them could see it. It wasn't going to happen for them. Listen, I've been harping on Tobias for so long now, and I hate to do it, but he deserves it. Man, the man needs improvement. Offensively, ball skills, shooting skills, scoring skills. We need him to score. That's what we brought him in for, and he can't do it.
He had, like, what, 20 and 12 last night, though? And you're ripping on Tobias?
Listen. The 12 is you know, garbage. It's not too meaningful. The 20, we need that. But realistically, we need Tobias scoring high 20s and be 30 points because Ben's putting up 15. We need Curry to have a good
Ben's night. Not putting up 15.
Okay.
There's no shot. I'm sorry.
Ben's not putting up 15 nowadays, but listen, Ben needs to get to the rim. He needs to make a. Someone needs to tell his ass, get to the rim, or you're sitting on the bench. Because if he's not getting to the rim, all he's doing is playing good defensive passing, which we need. But at the end of the day, you break down the Sixers roster, we need scoring. And B can't do it all.
So what if he goes to the rim but just still doesn't shoot? Just passes.
That's what he is doing. But he's not even going. I mean,
the problem comes when it comes down to game time plays, game time decisions. he doesn't want to go to the rim. He doesn't want to get fouled.
He
doesn't want to get fouled, which correct. Is not stupid in his heart, but as the playoffs, you know, come down to crunch time, that becomes a massive, you can't even compete.
Especially because, I mean, there's those guys that have the mismatch available for him to attack.
And right.
You don't even expose or try to expose if you got little Trae Young on you or whoever.
Right. It's a bit of a height difference.
Yeah, just a little bit. And you don't even want to try and post up and put something up.
So I want to open up with a question for you guys before I'll go on my little rant. I'll go on my rant at some point. Who's necessary to blame here? And I'm gonna name some options here. Yes, there's Ben Simmons, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously an option. Doc Rivers, I think, is definitely an option as well. Continues to choke in the playoffs. But the other option I'm going to throw out, and I think that no one's really talking about, is this 76ers training staff. Like, this has to be the worst. I mean, Markelle Fultz went through the same thing like 3 years ago where he was literally terrified to shoot a free throw. He had a hitch in his free throw. He didn't have that coming out of college. Ben Simmons had obviously he's never been a shooter, but he had a fluid mid-range jump shot coming out of college. Now he's terrified to dunk the ball when he's wide open. Like, is it the training staff? Is it whose fault is it here?
I got an answer. You guys can go ahead and go first, though, unless you want me to kind of touch on that first.
I really do not think the training staff is paramount in the issue.
I agree.
As far as shooting is concerned, we inherited poor shooters. That's bottom line. As far as rehab's concerned, we've done well. Ben broke his foot. Not exactly sure on the specifics of the break, but I know it was similar to Embiid's. Embiid suffered the same, you know, injury twice.
Yep.
Same one as KD. And that has not been an issue. It's been his back, which is, if anyone knows about a back injury, that's all maintenance. You know, yeah. There's no easy fix, so that's maintenance. I don't think the training staff, shooting staff, shooting coaches are to blame. I think it's...
But when have we ever seen two number one overall picks?
It's both at some point terrified to shoot the basketball.
I think that's all mental for both of them.
Markelle Fultz can't shoot in Orlando. Whether he's shooting better or not is
irrelevant. After he went through Philly. He could shoot at Washington.
You think Philly made Markelle's shot bad? Nah,
it didn't look like that when he came out.
No one wanted to come out and say, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I can't really explain it to the day, but Markelle Fultz hurt his shoulder, clearly.
Yeah.
Like it's not working quite the same. I was not a believer for over a year. I was like, he's got the yips. He's got the yips. That's exactly what's happening. Yeah. He hurt his shoulder. Now Ben's got the yips. Now Ben is a different story. That's complicated.
I think it's both mental for him.
It is mental now.
It is because Ben Simmons was literally under the rim, and we've seen this video probably countless of times in the last 24 hours. He was literally looking up and passes.
Right.
So because he knows.
Thibault?
I think it was Thibault.
Yeah.
If you watch that video slow motion, Ben's not even looking to shoot. He's not even looking for the basket. His first instinct instantly is he sees Matisse, John Collins kind of wavering.
He feels the presence.
Way.
Yeah.
He feels the presence a little bit, but he thinks Matisse wasn't. That was a weird play. Matisse was not ready for that ball.
At all.
If he was ready, he goes up. That's a bucket. That looks good.
That's the thing,
but
though.
He wasn't ready, but.
Because he was like, Ben's going up for the dunk.
You even heard the crowd. They're all kind
of Embiid at the top of the key
was
like,
pissed. Yeah. And he called him out in the interview after the game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Said that was the turning point of the game.
Well, that's a whole other story with the Sixers, man. As much as Ben and Embiid should be very good on paper, or at least good on paper, it's not the case. They have completely different personalities, completely different reactions to what's happening. It doesn't work.
And that's where I blame Doc Rivers. And yes, obviously part of it's on Ben too, but if you watch the Sixers offense in these playoffs, it was literally Ben Simmons would come down. Ben Simmons is a downhill player. He has to be attacking downhill.
Yeah, has to be.
And he doesn't. Yeah. And because their offense was he would come, drive at an angle, hand it off to Curry or Forkman or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Hand it off to him, set a screen for him, and then go hide in the short corner waiting for a dunk. But then he sits and hides down there, and that's going to clog up Embiid, because that's where Embiid's attacking is inside, and it's the worst offense I've ever seen. At that point, you shouldn't. I mean, you have to play Ben. You're paying him what, $34 million or whatever.
You have to play him.
I think it's like 29, but yeah.
But at that point, still. It's clogging up everything. And everyone's like, well, he's still averaging like 8 or 9 assists. Like 50-something percent of his assists were because he'd hand it off and Curry would just jack it. And Curry would catch fire a couple times. Like that was the majority of his assists throughout the series. That's no basketball play. He's not attacking downhill. He's literally handing the ball off.
I mean, I think this series you really saw a Sixers team that was not on the same page, didn't want it, weren't.
No chemistry.
No chemistry.
Hawks wanted it way more.
Yeah.
The Hawks didn't even want it, and we lost. That's what happened. We played bad. We didn't want it. We were shitty. Real shitty. And that's what it was.
So
and that's what it was for most of the playoffs, really. We didn't show too much shine at any point, really.
So
I wasn't expecting much, to be honest, but expecting to beat the Hawks. Come on.
Right. So game 7 happened. We're all aware there. But we got to talk about that game 5 collapse. I mean, so as Sixers fans, you guys kind of decide who wants to go first here. Question for both of you. Did you guys think the series was over when you blew that lead, or did you think you still had a chance? Because there was a fat momentum swing going into game 6.
I mean, I thought if we could get game 6, then...
Which you did.
We would rally back to Philly.
Yeah,
right.
In game 7 and get the dub, but that wasn't the case. But I was pretty confident after game 6 about going into game 7 and closing it.
Right.
And what blows my mind is, as the Sixers, the number one seed, they've been the best team in the East all year or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Record-wise.
You go in, you win a huge game 6 after a horrible collapse, get all your confidence back. Then you go watch Brooklyn lose the night before, who's the heavy favorite. Now you're like, okay, all we got to do is really beat Milwaukee.
And you love that.
And that's a 6-7 game series, I think. Mm-hmm. You got to be feeling real good heading into Sunday. And then to go out and shot like that.
You make a very good point.
Doc Rivers, I know he's a championship coach, but I've said it for a long time. He's the most overrated coach in basketball, I think, history. He's had Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, those Celtics teams. I know he got one with those Celtics teams, but they overachieved those next couple years and they all fell apart.
They're the reason he still has a job.
Yeah, Clippers, then he had Kawhi and PG and never even made it to the Western Conference Finals with those Clippers teams, any of them, and now he underachieves again in Philly. It's bad.
He really likes his shooting guards, though.
Yeah.
One thing I want to touch on real quick that I think it's not important, but it would have changed the impact, the outcome of what's happened is Danny Green's injury.
Yeah.
If we had, because if you look at the entire fourth quarter, basically the entire game, we were looking for scores. Who wants to shoot? Who wants to score? Who wants to drive? Mm-hmm. Who wants to step up? No one. Danny Green would have taken his shots. Whether he would have made them is another story. Also, George Hill was the leading three-point shooter in the league last year for the Bucks. Is that right?
Yeah. The leading percentage shooter.
Percentage in the NBA.
Yeah. 3-point percentage.
A decent amount of volume.
You have to have like a minimum.
Yeah, I think it was a good amount of volume.
150 or something like that in order to be qualified. Yeah.
And he was terrified to shoot.
Yeah.
Terrified. I don't know if that's he's not comfortable in the system. He doesn't like what I don't know. Who's to say? But that's an issue. George Hill, Danny Green, if they would have had impacts.
Mike Murphy
story.
Says Danny Green was big time. And tell it to speak your truth, Ton.
That's what it was, man. We needed him. It would have changed the outcome. But at the end of the day.
But, I mean, you can't look at that because DeAndre Hunter was out. Bogdanovich got hurt for Atlanta. I mean, they were bleeding, too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what needs to happen?
I think
where do you go from here going into the offseason?
Going in, I'm not sure, but I thought Doc's game plans and rotations were trash for that series.
Yeah.
Like, Maxey's been balling, and you're still giving George Hill 25 minutes in game 7. Gave Shake his chance, but it's like, even Korkmaz didn't really play game 7 after he hit, like,
maybe
one or two threes.
And at the end of the
day,
what do we need? We need scoring, shooting threes when we're trying to, you know, basically compete with Trey. Compete with her. Trey was Atlanta's main primary everything.
Everything, yeah.
Everything. Other than Collins doing his dirty work.
Tell Herter, baby.
Yeah.
Herter. Red Velvet.
Yeah, I mean.
And Doc made no.
It's really.
No adjustments on him.
He just kept Seth on him the whole time. It's like, dude. Put Matisse on him or someone else with some size.
Yeah.
Not little Seth.
So, moving forward now, I mean, we know the collapse. What do the Sixers do this offseason?
Yeah, where do we go? What do you guys think, boys? Okay, so who's first out the door? I want to know your guys' opinion. Someone's going.
I think it's Ben. I think Daryl tries to finesse some steal for Ben.
Okay. Bundy, what do you think?
I bet he can, but...
Or who do you think?
I mean, it's really a toss-up. You know, who knows what Moy's thinking. He's only been there for a short period.
Right. In your opinion, though, who's the first person to leave?
If you were in charge.
I don't... It's not going to be one. It's going to be a package.
Right, right. But who, like, if you're... The first finger you point at, what player?
I mean, you know, there's a couple you could name, but... At the end of the day, it's going to be one of the... We're talking about the big three that we have.
Right.
It's probably... I mean, in my opinion, Tobias, but like...
Okay.
Just because his contract's so high.
That's true.
His, you know, his... As long as, you know, his numbers are there, so as long as the team, you can get to buy into that, because I don't want him on my team.
So that to me, though, is their biggest issue. None of these contracts are buyable. I'm not trading for Ben Simmons. I mean, who's the best player Philly could get for Ben Simmons? I'd say like CJ McCollum maybe is right. Probably the best player they could get for Ben Simmons right now. No one's trading for Ben Simmons.
No.
Who do you think they could go out and realistically get in free agency? His value is bad right now. He's worth 30 something million. He's a liability down the stretch.
He's on his first contract, although it's like rookie max.
Yeah.
Listen, everyone's getting paid a lot, so it's not a terrible contract. The problem is he's going to be due for a new contract here in the next year, maybe.
Yeah,
year or two.
But at the end of the day, he's got more value than I think some would. Just from this, basically his performance, I don't think that destroys his value. I think his defense...
But who's the best player, though, that you think could be available? Like, I know CJ and Ben have been rumored together.
I really don't think a lot of people are...
I think it depends on the team where he's going, because he's got to be surrounded by playmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be. And
I mean,
a team that needs defense. And Portland, that honestly is kind of that team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what we would have in return for that. But
I don't either, but I'm just saying, I think Ben Simmons would be the first person to go if I'm making that decision.
Mike Murphy says all defensive players 24 are pretty valuable. Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's unplayable in the fourth quarter. Even late in the game, Trey hit the dagger three to win it right over him, and he did not. I mean, he did nothing to fight over that screen.
He's just
like, he's a good defensive player. But at the end of the day, defensively, they had him in the game yesterday. At the end of the game, and he cost him defensively as well.
I think he's just fucked in the head.
I think he's mentally really strong in a lot of ways, but he also has mental lapses and he has mental blockades. Mostly with those and shooting, obviously, but that leads to.
You can kind of see that too, because he's so aggressive at times.
He can be so aggressive and so confident. In the regular season, we know he can take it to the rack, you know, and one.
It's because regular season's about transition. Way faster tempo. NBA, playoffs, it's way slower, and that's when he's useless in the half court.
We saw that last year.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
It was just almost worse this time around.
Yeah.
Jimmy obviously helped out last year, and me and Sat were talking about it earlier today, actually. If we had Jimmy instead of Tobias,
Jimmy's a dog.
We would be looking at a ring potentially. Now that's
if know, this given, was the year
given,
to do it.
Given
this was the year, I would agree. If this year, I think you guys could easily be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It was set up perfectly for
us.
It was.
Like,
Brogdon got bounced.
That's literally.
But who knows? Maybe Hawks go all the way.
Then you guys can be like, well, we lost to the champions.
You know, the Hawks at the All-Star break were 3 games out of the playoffs.
Yep.
And they fired their coach halfway through the year. Nate McMillan's a hell of a coach.
I mean,
Indiana should have never fired him. Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess we can stop talking about the Sixers for now. Sorry, boys. We can move on to the other side of the country. Clippers and Suns. I love this Suns team. Love them. So fun to watch. I think they beat the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
You got game 2 tomorrow night. No Chris Paul, no Kawhi Leonard. Were you guys kind of shocked like the Suns still won without Chris Paul? Or what do you guys think about that?
I would have been if the Clippers had Kawhi. But they didn't have Kawhi either. I think what I love most about the Suns, though, is they're bringing back like old school basketball. Where like, I mean, nowadays they've gone into this. Like the Bucks do it. The Lakers did it. The Cavs did it with LeBron. There's like positionless basketball, which is a bunch of like athletes that could take over at random times. The Suns, like everyone like has their role.
Right.
Like,
everyone has a job.
Role. Like Chris Paul's the general. He's going to get the things going. Devin Booker's the score.
He's the best
one
player
to go to. Aiden's the screener. Get easy buckets inside. And play good defense.
Key about him, he likes being big. He won't jack up threes.
Yeah.
No, he knows his role.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. He knows it well. Crowder and Mikal are there to lock down and hit threes when they need to. Like this team.
Right.
I think Crowder and Mikal are the biggest like difference makers. Like, obviously Phoenix has their stars, but those are like the dogs that these other teams I don't think have.
Like if they play decent, Phoenix cruises.
Yeah. I hope it's Phoenix Milwaukee. Point. I think that'd be a fun ass series.
That would be sick.
I picked the Clippers Bucks from the beginning of the year and everyone like
props to you.
I annihilated me for it.
It's a solid guess.
I for sure did. Because I don't believe in the Clippers. I never do. But I mean, do they? I think this series, though, this Western Conference, I think it for sure goes to six games. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. This Clippers team's talented. Even without Kawhi, they have a bunch of dogs, a bunch of veterans.
Definitely.
So, I mean, but if it is a sweep, I mean. No way. Right?
There's no way. It'll be a sweep.
Because each time, the last two series, the Clippers have gone down 0-2 and came back and win.
Right.
Both times.
I don't know what it is, but I guess they just need that mental spark every series.
They kind of just figure them out, come game three, watch the film, study up.
Head back home, and they're like, all right, let's do it.
I mean, the Clippers really, like we were just saying, the Suns play, you know, everyone plays their role. The Clippers play exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
They play
positionless.
Their own role, and let's play ball. That's about it. And man, the Clippers are raw, and when they get going, it's game over for whoever they're playing.
Yeah,
I mean it's all about them hitting threes and them playing D, but I mean if PG can put together some games that we know he can put together, man, they'll be tough to beat.
What'd you guys think
about CP3 can. I don't know if his shoulder, sir. I don't know how hurt it is because I've heard a whole lot of different stuff. He appears to me sometimes hurt, and he appears to me sometimes perfectly
CP,
fine.
CP, yeah.
So I don't know.
But I think that, again, I mean, go back to Mikal and Jay, and that's what Utah didn't have. Like, Utah was guarding PG with Bogdanovich, Clarkson, like, guys that are liabilities on that end. Yeah. Phoenix, they could switch everything and just be fine.
Right.
Like, Cameron Payne is quick. He has long arms. Right. He could play defense.
Mikal, long arms.
Physical. Jay Crowder.
Physical.
That he's there to play defense. Right. Aiton's inside.
And even Cam Johnson off the bench.
Cam Johnson, another one.
Yeah.
Wild card.
Yeah. I think Phoenix has the guys to slow down PG. And I don't think Kawhi's coming back. I know they won't release it, but.
Unless they get this series, and then it potentially
for the trip.
Right.
Yeah.
So what'd you guys think about Tyronn Lue saying everyone in LA should be rooting for the Clippers?
I don't disagree necessarily.
I was at a bar the other day, and I was talking to this guy. I was from L.A., and he was a big Laker fan. He definitely wasn't rooting for the Clippers. It was during the Clippers-Jazz game five, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was definitely not rooting for the Clippers.
I think
being a Laker fan, the last thing you want to see is a fucking Clippers banner in the rafters.
Cap,
yeah. Against them.
Yeah.
They're rooting against them, but at the same time.
Good for L.A.
Yeah, good for L.A.
Yeah.
Obviously,
they should move to Seattle.
Good for the Clippers.
Up until the end, they're going to be like, hell no. But, if they get it in the end, they might be like, all right. Who's to say? But
they'll show up at the parade and whatnot.
Yeah. Good for the city.
All right. Well, let's transition to a little fan mail. I posted a thing on Instagram seeing if anyone else wanted to get involved, if they had any questions for you guys.
Then we're talking about Brooklyn.
Oh, let's just talk about Brooklyn right now then. Actually.
Yeah, you want to start
Brooklyn
let's
just
first.
Do that. Yeah. Okay. Because I know you really want to talk about the Brooklyn Nets.
I do want to talk about the Brooklyn Nets.
So I will let you start.
I called this shit from day one.
Okay.
And everyone today is, and yesterday it was me like, well, if Brooklyn was healthy, they would have won the series. Yeah, no shit. Like, I agree with you. They would have been. But like from day one, could you really have expected these guys? Kyrie Irving has finished one playoff series in his entire career. He wasn't there to finish when Cleveland lost to Golden State. He wasn't there when Boston made the Eastern Conference Finals. Brooklyn, was it last year? Did they even make the playoffs last year?
Brooklyn, no.
I think they got into the eight or something like that. But he's always hurt for the playoffs. James Harden, this has been a common scene. He kind of disappears come playoff time. Like, this was a process. Like, you can't just throw. The NBA is a professional league. You can't just throw superstars together, not play all year together. I mean, Kyrie, what did you expect with Kyrie? He didn't play half the year because he didn't want to. And then comes back and gets hurt, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, well imagine if they say hello. Yeah, no shit, they're gonna, like, this was gonna happen. Like, this is why I didn't pick them from the beginning. I loved when Milwaukee went out and got Jrue Holiday. I like lost my, and Jrue Holiday struggled in the series, but he kept shooting.
He was clutch.
That's what he needed to do. Yeah.
That's the key though. That's
like
the
he didn't
thing.
Shy away from the moment. That's what they needed, because Giannis has shied away from the moment. Middleton has shied away from the moment. They needed a dude that was just going to go in there and do his thing. And so when that happened, I was like, this dude's, he's had a little bit of injury history, but he's been steady. He's going to be fine. Right. Middleton never gets hurt. Giannis never gets hurt.
Right.
Like, that's why I picked Milwaukee. And everyone today is ranting about Brooklyn and saying, yeah, well, they're just wait till next year when they're healthy. These guys have never been healthy. Like, they've never, ever showed up playoff. Even KD has missed a lot of time in the playoffs. And KD, I think KD's the greatest player on the earth right now.
Oh, 100%. But yeah. He had to carry
But even
hard.
Him is like, next year, I wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie and Harden are playing the playoffs and KD's not. Like, I think every year, this is why I'm saying I don't think Brooklyn's ever going to put it together.
And, you know, yeah, you make a good point, because I'm going to kind of go back to the Suns team here. This is one of the youngest teams in the playoffs we've seen, and why are they playing so well?
Mm-hmm.
They all stayed healthy. Chris Paul. And they all stayed healthy.
The
they all played together.
And
they
Monty
all
have, Williams.
And they all have chemistry. Yeah, Monty definitely. Williams coached them all. They all played together. Brooklyn, everyone's missing time. Load management. They're all veterans. It's like, why aren't they playing good together? That's why.
Yeah.
That is why.
Definitely.
I somewhat disagree.
I knew that was coming.
I mean, give me the mic, he says.
I mean, listen. What game was it Kyrie went down?
Game 4.
Game 4, first round?
No, against Milwaukee.
It was against
Milwaukee.
They were
up 2-1.
He stepped on Giannis's foot.
Okay. I remember I was watching the game. I remember it. Look, that is a could-have-happened-to-anyone injury. That's not...
But it's happened over and over and over.
I get it. But that type of injury is that could have happened to anyone injury.
I see what you're saying.
And James Harden with the hamstring, it was a quad hamstring.
Hamstring.
Yeah.
He's had problems with it in the past. Not to say it's an excuse. Also, just because his hammy was, you know, not 100% clearly by his play and his demeanor on the court, he was, you know, he wasn't aggressive. He didn't have the speed, didn't have, you know, the sharpness, but it does fall on his back slightly.
Yeah, I agree.
100%.
His shooting percentage was
it's not good every year.
Was bad, and him not getting to the line, he got to the line quite a bit for being hurt and not shooting and not playing, you know, too much offensive minded ball. But he needed to get to the line more, because once he gets to the line, you know, he's still the same shooter. He can, you know, his hamstring's not moving much at the line,
right?
He needed to do that instead of just taking these threes that he should have made. He would have, should have made as a capability, but they didn't go in. So he needs to make an adjustment, and that falls on him, because KD had KD put his everything out there. Harden, you know, was lagging behind. Bottom line,
but that's the thing is that going to change? Because Harden went from a guy that has the ball in his hand for 20-21 seconds every single possession in Houston, and like, it was his team. He knew that. Now, all of a sudden, you got a guy that's going to be, that's considered a top 5, top 10 player. And now he's playing with probably the best player in the world right now. Like, it's going to be hard for a superstar to be like, well, what do I do now? Like, Harden was essentially used as a decoy in those last couple games. And it's hard just to go from a guy that creates everything on your own to being a catch and shoot guy, which essentially that's what he was these last couple games in Brooklyn, was stand there, catch and shoot if you're open. And that's just not his game. And mindset-wise, too, if you're a creator, if you're a scorer, that's hard to do, just to all of a sudden change your entire game and not really know your role. You went from being, like, considered one of the greatest scorers of all time to not knowing if you should take this shot, not knowing if you should just get the ball to KD. That's a tough thing to fix, especially when you don't play together all year. And then you throw Kyrie into the mix.
It spoke real loud. I'm a big action speak louder than words guy. That last possession... Game 7, KD brings the ball up the court in overtime, gives it to Harden. Harden gives it right back.
Mm-hmm.
He's hurt. He's making the smart play. He's not. He knows what he knows.
Yeah, but that also, look at KD though. There was like 7 seconds left. KD kind of didn't want any part of that then.
That's KD all the way. That's before the game even started. No matter how tired you are, he knows he's hurt. KD's more, you know, healthy as he can be.
Right.
That's his shot. No matter how tired he is, I get it. He played 46 minutes for him, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Also, as much as I hate Nick Wright, I don't know if you guys know Nick Wright, the Fox Sports guy. I fucking hate Nick Wright. But I would agree with him when he was right at this, where Nash coached a brutal game in game 7. He had a timeout left in that whole overtime period. If you watch KD, every single dead ball, every single whistle, he goes down, puts his head down, and grabs his knees. Like, he is dying out there.
Yeah.
And you can't call. He didn't call a single timeout in overtime.
That's not good.
To give KD a breather. Let him, like, rest for a second.
Right.
And they went, what was it, like 4 minutes without getting a bucket? Either team. Brooklyn and Milwaukee.
It was kind of a brutal overtime.
It was 2-0 in overtime. Milwaukee outscored him 2-0 in overtime.
Jeez.
And you go an entire overtime. And I love Steve Nash. He was, like, one of my favorite all-time players. But you go an entire overtime without calling a timeout. I think that's a first-year coach mistake right there.
Yeah. Shows why he airballed at the end, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Left it way short.
Yeah. Weird shot, too, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, that's enough of the NBA for now, though. Let's go to some fan mail on Instagram. We got two from Trey Jones.
Ice Trey.
We got... Which team will have the worst NFL record this season? I know it's a quick transition in sports, but we're going to be talking NFL here. So which team will have the worst NFL record? Who's getting the number one pick?
Houston.
That's what I was thinking, Houston.
I'm going to go Detroit.
Really?
I am.
You don't think Goff could get a couple?
Nope.
I don't know, but that division, that division's bad. I think Minnesota is going to take a step down. Green Bay, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. Chicago, I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. That's a bad division. I think you could get a couple out of there.
Okay.
But Houston also plays Jacksonville twice.
Very true. And it's Deshaun Watson's way better than Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Quarterback plays huge.
I think the
rookie head coach as well. Is Goff starting?
I think the Jets could be in the mix.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
That's a good question.
I think the Lions are my pick.
And go Detroit.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go the Jets.
Total worst team overall.
What'd you say?
Trey was asking worst team overall.
Yeah, who's going to get the number one pick next year pretty much?
Yeah, I'd say Houston.
Texans? Bundy?
Yeah, I would say Houston or the Jets.
Texans or Jets?
Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go the Jets. I think Zach Wilson's going to have a rough year.
I think so, too.
First-year coach.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's just the Lions, though.
Tough division now, too.
For me, it's I don't know. I see it as the Lions. It's not, like, by far Lions, but I would just... One, it's Detroit.
Yeah.
Two, Jared Goff's now the quarterback. Huge downgrade. Galladay's gone. Marvin Jones is gone, too, isn't he?
Yeah, Marvin Jones is gone.
All he's got is TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
Sophomore tight end now. The O-line's decent. He has no dominant running back.
DeAndre Swift
and Kerryon Johnson.
I think Kerryon might have left.
I think they cut Kerryon.
Okay, so now it's DeAndre Swift. So, I mean, that's my thing. Zach Wilson, his O-line's getting better. He's got a new head coach.
I think
coach.
A sleeper pick, too, could be Philly. I think Philly's going to have a rough year.
I think Philly's going to be pretty bad as well. But for me, it's Detroit. I don't see any bright spot on that team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Defense is poor, too.
Right.
Yeah. Just
nothing, really.
So.
I think they got a couple playmakers to get them at the last spot, though. But
sneak one.
Okay.
Low-key Atlanta.
Atlanta kind of crossed my mind. Matt Ryan, though.
Matt Ryan's just...
And that division's
pretty
bad,
they're going to put up too many points.
Right.
Yeah.
They could go wild card. They could be... Top five.
Yeah, Atlanta's just.
I feel like that's been Atlanta for like the last 5 years.
Yeah,
for about the same. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Second question from Trey: which NFL team will have the most disappointing season? The expectations versus the outcome.
Arizona Cardinals.
Without hesitation, folks.
I have them about 6-10, 7-9.
Whoa, there's another game now. So 7-10.
Oh, yeah. That's so dumb. That's so fucking stupid. Yeah, 7. I'll go 7-10. I think Arizona, I mean, they spent a ton of money, but that division, you got San Fran twice, you got Seattle twice, and you got LA twice. That's brutal. I think Arizona disappoints greatly.
It's not a bad choice.
I think Seattle disappoints.
Ooh. Okay.
Shots fired.
No. That's just what I'm thinking. I mean, I just don't.
Honestly,
I don't believe in what's going on there. They need to shake it up.
Fair. We'll see. We got a new OC coming in from
Waldron.
The Rams.
They need
we got Everett.
Yeah.
They need to move some pieces.
I think Everett's about to have a big time year.
I think he definitely can.
Yeah, he fits that offense perfectly.
I'm trying to think of a disappointing team.
I think another one that is always disappointing every year, and I think we could see another disappointing year for them, is the Chargers.
I was just about to say that.
I think Herbert could be in store for a sophomore slump. I mean, I think he'll still have a good year. Like, Herbert's a stud.
Right. He's in a division with Mahomes.
But everyone's saying, like, he's, like, the new guy.
And which, he's a dog. Don't get me wrong, he's a dog.
And that team can't stay healthy. Derwin James is never healthy.
Right. They have the injury curse bad every single year. Their special teams never works. It seems like it's always just dysfunctional.
That's tough.
Dude, I'm kind of.
Like,
it all depends on Baker.
Yeah. A lot of Baker.
I am big OBJ's, on Cleveland this year, though.
He's supposed to be coming back, I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah, who knows?
Who knows with OBJ?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I think Baltimore will disappoint again.
I was going to say Baltimore might be on the list. I mean, I'm just thinking expectations.
I also wanted to say Tampa, but I don't know who wins that division other than them.
Right.
Right.
Especially with
Jameis balls out.
Yeah, Drew Brees is gone. Mm-hmm. Cardinals was a good pick. I might have to agree with you there.
Yeah.
I do like the Cardinals, but they are easily in the toughest division.
Well, they spent a bunch of money, and they spent it on receivers. They have a shit ton of receivers now.
J.J. Watt, who might stay healthy.
Yeah, D-Lyman, they still have no O-line.
They lost Patrick
Peterson.
Don't
know about Kleinsbury.
True. Right. I think I might have to say the Cardinals. Because someone's got to finish last.
Yeah,
right. The gauntlet of the NFC West.
Seriously, yeah. I might go Cardinals.
I'm all for it.
Okay. Next one. Trevor Aguirre. Brock, this is personally for you. Has the process been trusted long enough? And also, what is your social security number?
No, the process is... It's come and gone, I think. It's time to figure out a new era, because I think their chances have run out.
Yeah.
Based off losing to Boston, getting swept by Boston.
Yeah. Atlanta. Yeah.
There's another one.
Toronto. Yeah, the
quiet
bounce.
Shot. Yeah.
See, I've forgotten about that.
Yeah. That might have been the year.
Yeah.
But then you would have ran into, Golden State was crippled.
Yeah.
That might have been the year.
This year.
I mean, you could say every year.
The year was this year with Jimmy, and Jimmy chose South Beach, so good for him.
Raft
and got a berth to the finals.
Yep.
Next one coming from Spencer Doherty. When we getting jacked? Spencer, I don't know, bro. I'm trying to hit the gym, too. I don't know if you're in town. I don't know. I'm working for Speak, man. I mean, I'm down. Just hit me up. I don't know what your plan is. It's been a while since we've chatted. All right. Next one comes from Amanda Spencer. What do you think about the abundance of Mattress Firm stores?
I got a good answer to this one.
Cole, take the mic, brother.
The Mattress Firm franchise is a 100% money laundering scheme.
Facts.
Run to a T. I was walking down Canal Street of New York City, New York, let it be known, and there was Mattress Firms on ground level, second level, and third level.
Are you shitting
of
me?
Of Canal Street, which if you don't know Canal Street, it's a massive street with shopping, any stores you can think of, a McDonald's that'll blow your mind in its technological advances. But... It's a complete front, and good for them, because I've never seen anyone walk in that store. So the fact that
ever.
They get away with it is something I cannot explain.
So I sent out a Snapchat asking, hey, do you know
I
anyone?
Saw it the other day.
Exactly, yeah. Do you know anyone that has ever bought a mattress from Mattress Firm? Send it to a decent amount of people. Everyone said no except one kid. He actually bought a mattress 2 weeks ago. Cade Eberle.
I went in there with like 2 or 3 years ago. I was in the market for a good solid mattress.
Right.
And I went in there and the dude at the counter, like there's no one in there. There's the one right across by the mall, like on Cole Road right there.
No one was in there?
I went in there. No one. Dude was like confused, like why I was in there. Like I swear I asked him like for some ideas and he just kind of like stared at me. It was most, I went and bought one across the street at like Denver, whatever it is.
Like some Will Ferrell wedding crasher shit.
It's kind of had that vibe. Like he was just kind of looking, like showed me a couple that I think I was asking for like a queen. He showed me like a twin or something like that. He was just like, we got that right there. I was like, tight. Like it was an interesting experience. I feel like they're pretty solidly priced. Like they're pretty cheap, which has to make you wonder like, why are there so many of them?
Oh my God. Okay, so I just looked up starting wage for Mattress Firm employees. So if you're the retail store manager, you average $14 an hour sitting there.
To be the manager?
Yeah.
Who are you managing? Do you have multiple salespeople at a mattress place?
Retail sales manager, retail sales associate, and then the area sales manager. All estimate between $10 to $20 per hour.
Total hoax.
It's more than Ben Simmons will be making in a couple of years.
Maybe. Yeah,
what's UPS starting?
That's insane to me, though. I mean, how can that many mattress firms pay their employees that much money an hour just to sit there? I mean, I guess you're not paying much. Because, I mean, what? If you sell,
it's probably only like one dude.
I was going to say, and if you get one guy to sell a mattress for, I mean, what? You sell a mattress every 2 weeks.
Little commission check.
I was going to say, you get a little commission.
They go on commission.
They have to with how slow they are.
And the amount of money they're laundering plays an effect too.
That was a phenomenal question, Amanda. Thank you. That's some serious, serious inquiry. Shane Wickstrom, what'd you guys think about Stephen A proposing a CJ and Simmons trade? Okay, we kind of touched on that. Sixers fans, you go first. CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons trade.
I think that's pretty solid. I mean, Philly definitely needs a scoring two guard other than Seth, but he can play some point. He could come off the bench.
Trevor Aguirre. He commented, no! All caps. He's a Blazers fan, in case you're wondering.
Oh, my, bro. You got it dead wrong.
And at the same time, Ben can play D for Portland. I don't know. Interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cole's got a word
that's
here.
That's terrible.
Wait, for Philly or for Portland?
For Philly. It's no question. That is terrible. Okay, Ben's younger. Ben's bigger. He's more athletic. CJ hasn't done anything really outside of some regular season performances. I know he had averaged a career high, I think, this year.
He averaged 33 against Denver in the Western Conference semis.
It don't matter.
A couple years ago.
Okay. I think he had a career high this year in points and no one noticed, and the Blazers hardly noticed. It was basically Dame time all over. And if you watched a lot of those Blazers games, Dame was looking at CJ like, what the hell are you doing, bro? You need to get your shit together. He couldn't make shots. He couldn't really – he didn't know his assignments. I think CJ's a great player. So they need to bring in Ben. No, we are not giving Ben up for CJ. I'm sorry. That's just bottom line. It's not going to happen.
I don't know if it happens, but I don't know. Dame's looking at CJ like, yo, we got to score 140 to win this game.
Yeah. No, CJ definitely choked this year's playoffs. Yeah. Like, he struggled big time. Definitely
struggled.
I just still can't give up the fact that Bundy came on and blamed Tobias Harris after Ben averaged 2 points in the fourth quarter.
About Tobias. Okay.
I know, that shocked me. I thought they were both easily going to say Ben Simmons.
I want Tobias gone. I knew Bundy wasn't. Probably because of his contract, but...
Contract's pretty big.
Contract aside, when you are competing against Kevin Durant, you're competing against, you know, fast, big, small forwards, LeBron, or whoever it may be, if you're trying to compete for a championship, which Philly is, that's what we're trying to build, you can't have Tobias on either side of the court. He's going to get dominated when he's on offense, because he's going to get locked up. He's going to get bullied around. He's not big. He's not quick. I mean, he's tall, but he's not, like, big. He's not strong. He's not fast. He has no lateral quickness. His shooting's mediocre. His IQ's not off the charts. I mean, he's really a poor man's...
Oh, say it.
A real poor man's like Joe Johnson. Real poor man's, and not saying something because, I mean, Joe was nice for a lot of years, but.
Gordon Hayward.
I'm just saying, even just like stature and kind of like a little bit. I mean, Joe is way more athletic, not even close. But like I said, Tobias has no lateral movement. He can't move left to right. He can't move forward and back. he doesn't got it. He doesn't got it. I want him gone.
And Ben scoring is, or Ben not scoring is one thing, just because he's, I don't know, who knows what was going on with him. But Tobias, it's like he was scoring 20-ish, but
right,
it's not like he had any crazy matchup defensively on him. It's like they either had Gallinari or like John Collins.
Yeah.
Like you should go for upper 20s, Tobias, but I ain't blaming him.
Yeah.
Could be the Doc Rivers system too.
Very bad, just in-game adjustments. Looked lost sometimes compared to what Nate McMillan was doing with Atlanta.
Yeah. Nate's about to get a payday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well-deserved.
Yeah.
Honestly. Sure. I wanted to ask you guys, we haven't really talked about Joel Embiid that much. Like, what's your guys' opinion on him?
Baller. I mean, he did all he could with the torn meniscus and everything. He went off the series, all playoffs, really. Because if we didn't have him, we would be probably losing to the Wizards by now.
That is actually very true.
But the future, I don't know. They could trade him and get way more.
I was going to say, his value's huge.
Right.
But I feel like they just don't. They want to build around him, I'm guessing.
Do you worry about the injuries?
A little bit. Have to. He's taking 20 falls a game. As big as he is.
I was going to say, with that size, that is.
Eventually, something's going to.
That's just hard to heal from.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to you don't build a team around a 7-footer. I think Jokic's different. He plays a lot different. He's more on the perimeter. He gets the other guys involved. Yeah.
Right.
You don't build a team around a 7-footer in today's NBA.
Yeah.
But I think you can build around Embiid because he's so defensively good. If he was to be thrown on the Warriors scheme and, you know, have to play, you know, basically as a traditional sophomore.
Right.
And
but that wouldn't be building around him.
No.
He's entering a system there.
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I just don't think we did it correctly whatsoever.
Yeah.
There you go. I think you nailed it. I just don't think you did it correctly. And I mean, I think it's honestly mostly on Ben Simmons, though. Because Seth says it all the time. Ben Simmons wants to be downhill, but Embiid clogs the paint as well. You know, it's kind of hard to build around that.
I've just never seen a player regress since they got into the league.
That talented.
And Philly's had him, two of them in the last couple of years.
Who?
Markel and Ben Simmons that have literally been worse five years into the NBA than they were when they got into the NBA. Markel, like, I've never seen that before.
Markel is an anomaly case, okay? He doesn't know.
But he's not, because his old teammate, the number one pick 2 years prior to him, is going through the same shit right now.
Entirely
a broken shot, mental head case. Useless on the basketball court. It's the same thing.
Injury, though. Understand the dot you're trying to connect, but it's an injury versus non-injury. There's similarities, but it's not the same thing. Bottom line, bro, that's an injury.
Right. But then what's bad? Is it just a lack of work? Is it?
It's a whole lot of shit. It's a lack of work, a lack of confidence.
I mean, this dude was called the chosen one like 4 years ago. And now he's people like, there's not even a market to trade for him.
I feel like that nickname
his
just never
broke
works.
His shot was broke when he got there, so it's blaming.
But it's gotten worse. It's gotten a lot worse.
It's because they tried to fix it. If you noticed the year back, like last season basically, his elbow was more in, right? It was looking better. But his results weren't necessarily improving. So the type of personality he is, I can imagine he basically just slowly was like, this ain't working, I'm not doing it.
Not a champion.
He's young.
Yeah, what'd you guys think about that comment Doc Rivers made when he got asked, is Ben Simmons point guard on a championship team? He's like, I don't have an answer for that right now. I think it was a smart answer. Yeah. Like, he answered it safe without being, like, too honest or.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to say to that.
Yeah, I feel like the questions they were asked, him and Joel both, they were kind of forced to say something.
Yeah.
Along the lines of Ben or the game. And Ben kind of owned up too. He's like, yeah, I wasn't there on offense the whole series.
Right.
Whatever, but there's got to be blame put on someone.
This was a whole team. We really sucked. Like bad. As a collective unit.
It's a bold take.
No, that's just what it was.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree 100%.
It was poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Should we move to our deal or no deal game?
Yeah, I'm down for that.
What do you think? All right, so Seth and I made a couple trades. You guys can chime in on this. I made two. Seth made two. You know that NBA trade machine on ESPN? Mm-hmm. I like people. I kind of like the two-team trades, three-team trades. Right. Seth and I made a couple of those, and we want to know your guys' opinions. They all went through. It's just with random teams. But, Seth, I'll have you go first.
All right, I'll pick up where I think this is best-case scenario, potentially for both teams. I'm going to start with Ben. I don't think Ben's going to be traded. I really don't.
Really?
You can't get much for him right now.
I think the Sixers will take anything.
Doc said that he's working. He's going to work out in Philly this offseason, and I don't think they're going to trade him. But I think the best case scenario for Ben is this trade, and this one worked out, is Ben goes to the Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, and this year's Minnesota pick, which is going to probably be top six, potential top five pick, which Golden State owns. In exchange for Ben Simmons. If you're the Warriors, would you do that? You get Wiggins, you get a shooter in Poole, and you get a potential top five pick.
So what? Okay. You just have Ben Simmons play like point forward?
Yeah, I mean, he essentially steps into an off guard guy, like, just tries to get Clay and Steph going. Doesn't have to worry about shooting.
I think that's...
It gets a little tough because that's basically what Draymond is, but...
I don't like that trade for Philly.
At all.
You don't like it for Philly?
I don't like it for Philly.
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to be quick to trade anyone right now.
Right.
Everything's hot. Just happened. And they're not going to trade right now. They're going to wait till the end of the summer. Field their options. Make a decision. My guess would be they're going to get a lot more for Ben than what you guys are thinking, to be honest. Just because of the fact of his...
I don't know. I think teams know that Philly has to be desperate, too.
I don't think Philly's going to do that. I think they would be willing even to stick it out rather than give up their assets that they've acquired over the years for less than what is what they're worth.
I mean, I essentially agree because I don't think they trade him at all. But I think it's just because teams don't come... I mean, teams are going to try to rip him off. Because Philly's going to be different. I mean, Philly's like the worst spot to be in this position for Ben Simmons. Like, those fans are not going to let Ben back in the building for a couple months. Like, those fans, I mean, they were already burning his jersey outside the stadium last night.
Yeah, definitely.
He's got company.
And Philly's that's a tough, I mean, those fans are brutal. And I think teams know that Philly's going to be desperate. I mean, they're not just going to come to the door, Philly's door, and offering their future assets all for Ben. They're going to know that they could try to scheme them. They could try to rip them off here. So I don't think they're going to get a lot in return. I think CJ is probably the best player out there that they could get.
So Trevor Aguirre had a comment. Trade Doc Rivers for the Philly Fanatic. That's the Phillies mascot. I love that trade for the Phillies. I don't know about you guys. Picture Doc Rivers just in a Phillies jersey just roaming the baseball park.
It kind of looks like, who is that? Dusty Baker? Kind of look like Dusty Baker.
Why do they look like?
Don't make me start that. But just like the chunky build and the pinstripes.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that trade too for the Sixers.
Who was the coach that got traded? They did trade coaches a couple years ago. Who? There was a coach that got traded on draft day.
I think it was Doc.
Yeah, it was Clippers from Boston to
Clippers
in
Boston.
Yeah.
And they got like what was it, a couple firsts?
I think it was a protected first. I think it was like a first round pick.
It was at least one. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
So my trade involves the Timberwolves and the Mavericks. Kristaps Porzingis, Jalen Brunson, and two first round picks go to Minnesota for Karl Anthony Towns to go to Dallas.
Interesting.
Deal or no deal?
I don't think Minnesota would do it.
Yeah. Really?
I think they like Kat too much.
I think Kat, they've built this thing that Kat's going to be like their guy.
But
that is really the center. Like,
if it was me, I might do that.
But yeah, you get a. I mean, I think Kristaps is a still going to be a decent player.
Right.
He plays like half the year, though.
What's that?
He usually plays like half the year.
Yeah. But so does Kat.
Kat doesn't.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Like, Kristaps, you know, busts ACL, and that ACL ain't a 2-foot ACL. It's just like 4.5. So that's scary. But we've seen KD, you know, I don't know. I just don't think I agree. I don't think the Timberwolves are giving up Kat.
I would honestly consider that, though. You get more first-round picks.
I would, too.
I think it's something to think Brunson. About for both sides.
Yeah, Brunson's a dog.
Brunson's a dog. He can be a good sixth man for Minnesota.
The Mavericks are going to be the Houston Rockets for the next 5 years. A team that has a superstar that puts up insane numbers but can never get outside of the second or the semis.
It seems true. It seems
because they have one guy that takes the possession away every time.
I think they could get a player. Mark Cuban running the show.
I think so. No, yeah, I think so.
No tax on the
salary. I think potentially, but I mean, Houston did too. They went out. They got Chris Paul. They got Westbrook. It's hard to go play with guys like Luka's obviously insane, but I mean, Chris Haps, it's why he's pissed right now. I mean, he has the ball for 22 seconds.
Right, that's
who's
tough.
Who's a perfect fit with Luka?
Someone that, I think like a Bradley Beal. A guy that's just going to spot up, shoot, and can
Bradley
take over
Beal
when he needs to.
Perfect fit for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be some catch and shoot type of player.
Right. Can't be someone that wants the ball.
Yeah. Can't be ball dominant.
Which is not a lot. Like Zach LaVine, maybe.
That would be kind of nasty.
Yeah.
Damn, I actually like that.
I don't think Chicago is good. That's
no,
that,
I don't think
that's
so.
That sick, that's that ticket sales. That's the,
right.
That's
he's yeah. The high flyer over there. All right, Seth, who's your next trade? What you got?
Good timing on that because it involves Chicago, but they're going the opposite direction. They're trying to bring guys in. The Bulls get is kind of a random trade that I liked. The Bulls get Domantas Sabonis.
So is it just
underrated.
Pacers and Bulls?
Yeah, just Pacers, Bulls. They get Sabonis and Edmund Sumner. Made the money work.
Okay.
Pacers get Patrick Williams, last year's fourth overall pick, Kobe White, young point guard, Thaddeus Young, and a second rounder.
I thought you were going to say Zach LaVine's also going to Indiana.
No,
I was about
I'm going,
to be like, wow.
I'm going Chicago goes all out here.
So then Markkanen's off the bench.
So then, yeah, Markkanen is untradeable, I guess, right now.
Okay.
At least according to the trade machine. Because so he was one I wanted to put in there, but he would have to come off the bench. Because you'd have LaVine, Vucevic,
Sabonis.
I forgot Vucevic.
And then nothing else, basically.
I kind of like that, but who's bringing the ball up for Chicago?
Sabonis. He's going to be the next Jokic.
No,
he was
Kobe
involved
was
in
that
the trade.
I don't know. I don't know.
You'd
if
have
the
to sign
do
some.
It, maybe.
I don't think the Pacers don't. I think Sabonis is almost untouchable, kind of.
Nearly.
Which is sad. So I think he's going to waste his career in Indiana. Because Sabonis is a beast.
He's a dog.
Like, that dude.
Yeah. I like Sabonis. He's my fantasy go-to every year.
He's borderline putting up Jokic numbers. And
yeah,
no one talks about
quietly.
He's in Indiana and they blow.
We'll see who they hire.
Yeah. It's going to be a big decision.
Like Terry Stotts.
Well, isn't LeVert there? And wasn't he hurt?
Yeah, he's still there too.
Yeah,
he'll be there.
He'll be back.
Brogdon's good.
Miles Turner never panned out. I had high hopes
bust.
For him.
Yeah. I always do for Texas guys. They never pan out. Except for KD, obviously.
Jared Allen's not bad.
I like Jared Allen.
Yeah.
I like Jared Allen.
There's another, isn't there?
PJ Tucker was a Texas guy.
Aldridge, but he's old.
Yeah. He's always overrated, too. Dude, worst defender in NBA history.
Yeah. Forget he was on the Nets for a sec.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, and then retired.
He unpacked and then was like, eh, I'm just not going to play.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my trade. This is the final one. This is a heavy trade, so buckle up. And don't look. Brock, do not look. So this involves the Wizards, the Sixers, and the Lakers. I kind of went balls to the wall here, so get ready. This is going to be funny. We'll start with who the Lakers get. The Lakers get Bradley Beal.
I'd be so fucking pissed.
I know you would. I said that just for you. Bradley Beal to the Lakers. The Sixers acquire hear me out. Russell Westbrook, Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell, Hachimura, and Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, it's a haul.
Giving up a haul.
It's
here.
A haul. The Wizards get Drummond, Talon Horton Tucker, Seth Curry, Tobias Harris, and Ben Simmons.
So the Wizards essentially become the Sixers.
With Drummond.
It's
a haul, huh? I told you that last trade was going crazy.
I hate it because, I mean, Bradley Beal's like my fair player, and I hate the Lakers. But also, I think Philly to trade a point guard that is a mess in the fourth quarter and can't shoot for Russell Westbrook is kind of just repeating their issue.
Yeah, but Westbrook can hit free throws.
And they're getting Schroeder.
And they're getting Dennis Schroeder and Hachimura and Kuzma. I mean, that's not huge, but and Montrezl Harrell for
to pair up with Embiid.
I think I'd do it if I was Philly. I don't think I'd in LA. I wouldn't if I was Washington. If you're gonna give up Beal and Westbrook, you better bring in some draft capital.
So this didn't let me do picks, but I'm sure picks would be involved. True. The Sixers, according to this trade machine, says the Sixers would gain 4 wins. Wow. The Lakers would lose 13 wins.
But it's also, it also doesn't calculate who they would sign.
Right.
Because obviously if you
fill out the roster,
7 players for 1 player, you're going to have to sign some other dudes.
Right.
So it kind of takes away like...
And then the Wizards pretty much is, they're neutral.
I like it.
It's pretty interesting. Isn't that kind of crazy here? I'll let you look now.
Thanks.
So Beal to the Lakers. That's all they get. Maybe a few
give
picks.
Give up on the NBA.
So yeah,
I like it. I don't know who. Someone's got to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I told you.
I think
you,
the Lakers definitely would.
Yeah,
I think Philly probably would. I think it'd be Washington that wouldn't.
Yeah,
because you're giving away your 2 superstars, and not really getting any superstars in return.
Right.
I like it though.
Yeah.
That's just pretty.
I hate it.
Why do you hate it, Seth?
Because of Beal.
Beal? Well, what about Beal? I thought you liked Beal.
I do. He's like my. Well, he's probably my favorite player.
Well, you said you hate it because Beal.
Yeah, he's going to Lakers.
Oh.
Yeah. Fuck Bron.
All right.
I do hope Beal gets traded, though. I think it'd be... Beal is like the most underappreciated. Like, everyone's going crazy for Devin Booker right now, and deservedly so. But like, that's basically Bradley Beal. Like, they're so similar in the way they play. Bradley's just been in a small market and hasn't done anything. He hasn't been on the big... The one time he was on the big stage...
Better on D, bigger.
What's that?
Beal's better on D and bigger.
Yeah, I mean, Beal's a hell of a defender, too. Like, I would... Beal's a lot older, but... Like, for one season, I would still take Beal before I'd take Booker.
Yeah.
I think Beal's, like, one of the most underrated...
I was going to say...
Underrated players.
I might take Book. He's got we'll that... See. I'm not even kidding, he is the closest thing to Kobe I've seen in the league right now. Easy.
I've seen a lot of people. Stephen A. said that today, too.
Yeah, something about it. Just a mob of mentality.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, he's a killer. But so is Beal. We just, no one sees it.
Very true.
Because he's in Washington. Like, Beal's a dog. Like, that dude will go
out. That's true. He'll never really had his moment.
He'll hit threes. The one time the Wizards made a run, he was yelling in the second option on John Wall's team.
Right.
So he didn't really...
True.
Get the spotlight.
He wasn't the budding star that he is now.
And I don't think he ever could be, like, the star of a championship team. Like, I think he's going to have to be a role player. Or not a role player, but, like, the second guy.
Right.
But then the question is, do you think Booker can?
Maybe eventually. I mean, Booker's 24, 25, however. I think he's 24. Yeah. So he eventually can be. But, yeah, I mean, Beal's... Like 29, I think now 28 or 29.
He's in his prime.
So yeah, he's getting older. I think Booker potentially can be. So I think he could be better, but still, if like at the start of this season, at the start of next season, if I had to take Beal or Booker on a championship team, I would take Beal.
Okay,
but they're very similar. I see their style. Like their style is very similar.
That's not like a bad take at all.
Yeah,
yeah, that's like it's totally fine. You can you're fine with either one.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, darn. Yeah. Booker or Beal?
Shoot.
Twist my arm. Yeah. Any more comments you guys want to make before we wrap up? We kind of hit all of our talking points. And it is 9:50. And I'm sure you guys are fucking beat from the river.
Yeah, we got after it. But I don't know. No really comments for me.
Not really, you know. Be excited to watch how this playoffs plays out. You know, no one expected what we got left to see. So
my last question is this good for the NBA, having four teams that have never been there?
Yeah.
Good for the NBA.
Be better if Durant and Braun were still in the mix.
I like to see the new teams.
I like to see. I like to see the fresh faces, fresh franchises to finally kind of get after it.
We haven't seen that in the NBA too. Like the NBA has been the most predictable league for
ever.
Yeah. And this year it's been the opposite, which is I think been awesome.
But financially for the NBA, I don't think it helps. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah,
they've been bleeding for a while though.
Yeah, I know, but I mean. You look at jersey sales, like all the ratings. It's like, who's the best player in the playoffs right now? Booker,
Giannis,
yeah. Giannis,
Trey.
I mean, one of.
Yeah, he's definitely he's up there.
But it's a lot of young stars.
Trey's, Trey's gonna step into like that villain role. He's gonna be like the Reggie Miller of this generation.
I love it. I'm all for it.
Everyone hates. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, he plays so much better on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I back Trey on that. I think that's sick. Yeah. And he embraced it.
The NBA needed it too.
Yep.
There's a lot of pretty boys out there nowadays.
Yeah. It's getting soft.
Soft.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, just want to give a quick shout out to Vegas Sports Advantage. Listen, guys, these picks do not miss. Go get yourself some picks. Click the link in the description. The bettors are just up huge. I mean, no matter what package you pick, you're going to get the more picks you get, obviously, the more expensive the package. But you will be positive, and it's a fact. You can literally check their stats on the website. Make sure to click the link. Get your money. Use the promo code TAKEOVER25 to get 25% off any package you want. Again, big shout out to them. Y'all have a good one. Take it easy, and we will see you Thursday night. Peace and love.
Doses.
Love.